Once again, the years roll back, and you are in the Brownstone Theater to attend a performance of Daddy Longlegs. It's a theater of memories, this Brownstone Theater, your own memories, perhaps. For here we present plays you may have enjoyed once upon a time. Plays that have entertained and thrilled many an audience in many a theater. Plays you will still enjoy. In your seat at the Brownstone Theater now, and sitting beside you is the distinguished American drama critic and author, a knowing and charming gentleman, Clayton Hamilton.
Good evening. It's always one of the pleasant events of the week to welcome guests at the Brownstone Theater, the theater of my memories and your imagination. Our play this evening is a charming and popular comedy, Daddy Longlegs. It was a great success not only as a play, but also as a novel. It was written by Jean Webster, a niece of Mark Twain. And it tells the story of Judy, a girl in a home for orphans, and Jervis Pendleton, a trustee of the orphanage. Gertrude Warner plays Judy, Jackson Beck, Jervis. The first part of Daddy Longlegs takes place in the John Greer Home for Orphan Children. It's a busy day for everybody, as it's the day when the trustees make their monthly inspection. And as the curtain rises, we'll find the matron, Mrs. Lippett, giving frantic last-minute instructions to a very unhappy group of the younger orphans.
Well, I must say, look at the lot of you. Don't you know this is trustees' visiting day? I should think that for once you'd have clean faces. Where's Judy Abbott?
I think she's upstairs.
Well, run up and tell her it's 4:30. It's time to make the tea. She's enough to try the patience of a saint.
I think I hear her coming downstairs. Judy! Hey, Judy! Miss Lippert wants you.
Did you want me to help, Mrs. Lippert?
Well, Miss Jerusha Abbott, it's about time you turned up. You seem to be the only lady of leisure in the institution today.
I'm sorry. The nurse had to look after the sick babies, and we couldn't leave the others alone.
You always have plenty of excuses.
That new red-headed child has swallowed some green paint.
I don't care what the green-headed child has swallowed. I'm more interested in what the trustees are going to swallow.
Green paint's made of arsenic. I learned that in chemistry.
You've learned altogether too much. You were a great deal more useful before you got all that education. Now get busy and set the table for tea. I have a million and one thing to do.
Okay, kid, she's gone.
Oh, gosh, Judy, will the kid die from the green paint?
Oh, I don't know. I hope not. The nurse and I gave her something. Oh, my goodness, Sadie Kate, look at you. Pull up your stocking.
All right.
And, Loretta, your nose is running again.
All right.
No, not on your sleeve. Daddy, you'll brush back your hair.
Okay.
That's better. And all of you, stand up straight. And remember, if any of the trustees or lady visitors speak to you, say yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, and smile. Smile if it kills you. Now, I better go set the table.
They're coming. I hear them coming.
Remember what I told you. Smile.
I'm so glad that you came early, Miss Pritchard. You can show Mr. Pendleton around before the others get here. The asylum has a great deal to thank you for, Mr. Pendleton.
Oh, I haven't done so much.
Your two dear boys are doing so well.
My two dear boys?
The ones you're sending to technical school.
Oh, yes, the young engineers. Don't these kids ever talk?
Only when they're spoken to.
Come here, little girl, and shake hands with me. Come on, I won't bite you.
This is the kind gentleman who sent you the circus tickets and the candy and the peanuts. Shake hands with him.
What's your name, little girl?
Gladiola Ballermeister.
Are you a good little girl?
That she is.
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Oh, my goodness, what was that? Oh, excuse me. Come along, children. Come with me.
Poor kids.
What do you mean?
Children are human beings, Miss Pritchard. You can't bring them up in a herd. especially with a woman like that in charge.
Mrs. Libbeth is quite a type.
Mm.
Jervis.
Yes?
I hate to be always begging, but there's one of these children for whom I want a real future.
Another promising young engineer?
No, this one's a girl. A very pretty girl.
Oh, no, you can't catch me with that kind of bait. I know the rest. She's a model of virtue, has a remarkable record.
Judy Abbott has the worst record of any child in this home.
What?
She doesn't lie out of her misdemeanors like the others do. She's disobedient, she's impertinent,
and just what do you expect me to do for this pretty, disobedient, impertinent young person?
I want you to send her to college.
To college? From an orphanage? Impossible.
She's 18 and about to graduate from high school.
18? I thought they never kept them in orphan asylums after they were 14.
Well, Judy Abbott was so bright that the Board of Trustees let her stay on and attend the village school.
I see. Saved hiring someone to take care of the younger children.
Jervis, her teachers say she's done excellent work in English. They believe she could be a writer with proper training.
There are too many writers in the world already.
And suppose she were a genius? Have you got the right to keep her down?
If she were a genius, I couldn't keep her down. Besides, I don't share your enthusiasms. If she had any spirit, she couldn't stand all this placidly. She'd rise up and mutiny. I've seen this institution, and I know that no child ever born could live here 18 years and have enough spirit left to go out and fight the world.
Judy could if she were given the chance. I know she could.
I don't see it, and I have a natural antipathy to girls.
Jervis Pendleton, you're a crabbed, ill-natured, hard-shelled old bachelor, even if you are only 35. And you don't know what you're talking about. You've never known any girls.
You forget my niece, Julia. She's entering college in September. Say, I might arrange for your little orphan to room with Julia.
Huh?
Wouldn't that be a joke on the Pendleton family?
Then you will.
No, I was only joking. It wouldn't work out. It wouldn't be fair to show that girl a bigger, more beautiful life and then forbid her to enter. You see, society has thrown away your little Judy. I'm afraid it's too late to pick up the pieces.
I never was so humiliated in all my life. All the other trustees are out there, and what do you think they found? Two cups broken, several sandwiches bitten into, and Freddie Perkins with a big hole in his pants. But this drawing is the final straw. Judy. Judy Abbott.
Yes, Mrs. Lippert?
Come in here at once.
What's that you have there, Mrs. Lippert?
It's a drawing. It looks like some kind of a bug, but underneath it says, this is a trustee.
Come over here, Jervis. I don't want Judy to see.
All right.
Here I am, Mrs. Lippert.
Judy, is this one of your drawings?
Yes, Mrs. Lippert.
Well, what have you got to say for yourself?
Well, it's not very good. I can't really draw. I just do it to amuse the children.
Why, how dare you make fun of a trustee of the John Grier home?
I didn't mean to make fun of anybody.
Oh, you didn't. This home has given you every mouthful you've ever eaten, and yet you turn around and ridicule your benefactors. I suppose you think this is a fit way to show your gratitude for all that's been done for you.
Gratitude? I don't feel any gratitude toward the John Grier home.
What?
I've worked and slaved to earn my living, such as it's been, since I was a tiny child. And you haven't kept me all these extra years for my own good. When I was 11, that kind lady wanted to adopt me, but you made her take another child instead because I was useful to you here.
Why, you...
I don't care how hard it'll be. I can make my own way in the world. All I need is a chance. Let me go anywhere away from this place, and I'll show you. Gratitude. I've lived in prison for 18 years. I hate this John Grier home.
Well... Oh, Mr. Pendleton, I don't know what to say. I'm so mortified. Oh, excuse me, please.
Well, Jervis, that was Judy at her worst.
At her best, I'd say. She was superb.
Jervis, do you really mean that?
I certainly do. It was great to see her stand up and demand her chance. By Jove, she's going to have it.
Oh, Jervis, do you mean...
I mean I'm going to send her to college.
Oh, Jervis, you're so generous.
Nonsense, I'm interested. I'm eager to see if she can really pull it off.
I can't wait to tell her. She'll be so grateful.
Oh, no. None of that. I won't have her thanking me. Why, she's had to give thanks for every mouthful she's ever eaten. It's a wonder she didn't choke. This college business is going to be a free gift from heaven.
But you'll want to know about her progress.
From a distance. She wants to be a writer? Swell. She can practice on me. She can write me a long letter once a month and address it to John Smith, care of my secretary. And she's never to expect an answer.
It'll be difficult to explain.
You'll manage. And one thing more. Don't explain anything to anyone but Judy. Now, I've got to run. I don't want her to see me. You attend to the details, free clothes, all that sort of nonsense. You'll know what to do. Goodbye.
Oh, Jervis, thank you, thank you. Judy, dear,
Well, what is he going to do to me?
Judy, dear, I have wonderful news for you. A gentleman, one of our trustees, is going to send you to college.
To college? Me?
With pretty new clothes and everything, just like any other girl.
Oh, I can't believe it. It sounds just like the fairy stories I make up for the children. Oh,
but it's true, Judy.
Oh, Miss Pritchett, who is he? Was he here today? What's his name?
Well, you're not to know his real name. You may call him Mr. John Smith. He's going to be your guardian.
My guardian? Then I belong to him and not to the asylum anymore. Oh, I'm so happy. Where is he? I want to see him.
No, dear, you can't see him.
Oh, just this once. I'll never bother him again. I want to think about him, about what he's like. Please.
Well, I promised him I'd keep it a secret, but I know. Come here to the window. He's there waiting for his car.
Oh, I can't see him.
No, it's too dark, but look, dear, there on the wall, you can see his shadow where the headlights of the car are shining.
Where? Oh, yes, I see it now. Well, at least I have a shadow of a father. Oh, look, Miss Pritchett. Look, did you ever see such long legs as that shadow has? I know. That's what I'll call him. Daddy Longlegs.
There's the situation at the end of the first part of Daddy Longlegs, with Gertrude Warner as Judy and Jackson Beck as Jervis Pendleton. Judy is now at college, where her roommate is Mr. Pendleton's niece, Julia. As you know, our Brownstone Theater intermissions are brief, and the cheerful music you now hear is an indication we're ready for the second part of Daddy Longlegs, which begins in the college, in the room shared by Judy and Julia. As the curtain rises, the girls are just finishing getting their room to rights.
Don't move that chair another inch, Julia Pendleton. It'll fall apart.
I'm going to ask my Uncle Jervis for a new chair. The mere fact that he's coming here today, that he's actually showing some interest in me, it's very, very promising.
Isn't it nice that Miss Pritchett is coming, too?
She's the only visitor I ever have here at college.
Judy, can I put this golf bag in your room? There just isn't another inch of space in mine.
Oh, mine's pretty crowded, too, but it's in some sort of order.
Oh,
my goodness. They're here already.
Oh, dear.
Here, give me that bag.
Here. I've got to comb my hair. You open the door.
All right.
Oh, Miss Pritchard, how nice to see you.
Hello, Julia.
And Uncle Jervis with a 5-pound box of candy.
I thought you'd
welcome.
Like
that. Come in.
Oh, excuse me. Just make yourselves at home. I'll be right back.
Well, we seem to have come at an inopportune time.
It's always like that around here. You know how girls are.
No, but I'm beginning to learn. Well, tell me, have you seen her lately? What's she like?
Jervis, she's wonderful. You'd never recognize her. 1 year of college has worked a miracle. You'll be surprised.
Nothing will surprise me anymore. I've had 19 letters from Judy this winter.
Have you answered them?
No, but I read them.
Huh, that's good. I was afraid you'd turn them over to your secretary.
Oh, no. Little Judy's letters aren't the sort I'd allow my secretary to read. They're disgraceful. Scandalous.
What?
She makes love to me.
She thinks you're her father.
She knows perfectly well that I'm not her father.
Well, she thinks you're an old man.
But I'm not, and I won't be treated like one. Why, she draws pictures of me. Pictures that make me bald and with the most awful long legs. She calls me Daddy Longlegs.
Jervis, are you sorry you took charge of her?
Sorry? I should say not. Her letters alone have been worth the price of admission. And from now on, I'm taking a more personal interest in my ward. That was the idea of having a room with Julia. Gives me an excuse to come here. Moreover, this summer, Judy's going to spend her vacation at Lock Willow Farm with my old nurse, Lizzie Semple. I had my secretary write her that such were my wishes in the matter.
There, that's all I'm going to do. The room looks good enough. I'm sorry I was so long, Uncle Jervis, but Judy is so particular about things.
Judy?
My roommate. We share the study.
Oh.
She'll be here in a minute. Oh, sit down, won't you? Oh, no, Uncle Jervis, not that chair. It wobbles.
How about this one?
Oh, that's all right.
Oh, Miss Pritchard, you sit here on the dining room.
All right, dear.
I think that's safe.
I think maybe I'd better stand.
Oh, Miss Pritchard,
I'm so glad to see you.
I'm glad to see you too, dear. You look wonderful.
Judy, this is my uncle, Jervis Pendleton. Judy Abbott, Uncle Jervis.
How do you do?
I'm afraid I don't know just how to greet a Pendleton.
Why? What's wrong with the Pendletons?
Wrong? Not a thing. They're so very, very right.
Miss Pritchard's been telling me you're a writer.
I'm trying to be.
Your parents must be very proud of you.
I haven't any parents. They were both killed when I was a baby.
How interesting. Surely someone took care of you.
Oh, yes, indeed. Lots of different people. Right now I have a guardian. I call him Daddy Longlegs.
What's he like?
Oh, he's sort of tall and skinny, bald on top, but has a nice fringe of white hair all around the edge. Mm. He's getting a little shaky now and has to walk with a cane.
He sounds like quite a beauty.
Oh, he's a sweet lamb. And I love him more than anything else in the world. Even though I'm sure he's a cross old thing with a perfectly dreadful temper.
Really, Judy?
How is he, Miss Pritchard? Have you seen him lately? Don't forget to give him a big kiss for me next time you see him.
Oh, I should say that such messages should be delivered in person.
Jervis, really?
What?
Julia, dear, take your uncle and show him the library. I want to have a chat with Judy.
But I don't want to see the library.
Of course you do. Now run along with Julia.
Come along, Unky. I can take a hint if you can.
Well, all right, but you two join us.
He's nice, isn't he, Miss Pritchard? Not a bit like a Pendleton. He's quite human.
Judy, must you say such odd things?
I can't help it. I keep doing it all the time. I suppose it's because I've been shut up in the dark for 18 years and then dumped right into the middle of a beautiful world. I'm just bursting with things to say.
You like the girls here, don't you, Judy?
Oh, yes. And they like me. But it's only because I don't wear blue check gingham. You know, you can accomplish almost anything if you have the right clothes.
I'm so glad you're so happy, dear. But you must face life soberly. It holds many disappointments for all of us.
Oh, not for me. I've left all my troubles at the John Grier home. Oh, wait. I have something to show you.
All right, Judy.
Miss Pritchard.
Jervis.
I was sent to tell you you are wanted in the library.
How did you get back here so fast? The library is a long way off.
I never went there. I got rid of my niece and then hid behind the door. Go on, please. I want to talk to Judy alone.
Very well, but
Harry,
I
hear her coming back.
All right.
Wait till you see the dress Daddy Longlegs sent me. Look, did you ever see anything so beautiful?
Never.
Oh, Mr. Pendleton. Where's Miss Pritchard?
I believe she was heading to the library or someplace. We're supposed to join her, but I'd rather stay here, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, but we're not supposed to entertain gentlemen in our rooms without a chaperone.
Oh, but I'm an uncle.
Oh. Well, I suppose that makes it all right. Mm. Besides, you're so old.
Well, not too old, I hope. I thought you and I could have a nice, cozy little flirtation.
A flirtation with a Pendleton? Gee whiz.
I wish you wouldn't keep calling me a Pendleton as though it was some kind of a germ. We're really quite harmless. And incidentally, is gee whiz the sort of thing they teach you here?
Oh, no. I picked that up from some little Bowery kids I once knew.
How did you come to know Bowery kids?
I was connected with a charity, a children's charity. You know, one of those places where a lot of benevolent old busybodies call every month, pat the kids on the head, complain that the floor hasn't been scrubbed, and then go home and forget the whole thing until next month.
What part did you play in all that?
I just sort of watch them and laugh behind their backs. I hate charitable people. No, I didn't mean that. The only man I love in all the world is charitable.
Your guardian?
Yes. He's the most charitable man I ever heard of.
He's a lucky man to have all that love.
He's a pet. Only he's very difficult to handle at times. We don't agree on a lot of things. I suppose it's natural, though. Age and youth, you know. But he's so good, I usually give in to it.
I suppose you'll soon be having your vacation. Where are you going to spend it?
Well, Daddy Longlegs informed me, through his secretary, that he had plans for me to go to a place called Lock Willow Farm.
How extraordinary. Lock Willow Farm belongs to Mrs. Semple, my old nurse. I often visit her during the summer. I'll probably be seeing you.
Oh, I suppose Daddy Longlegs was afraid I'd meet somebody and want to marry them. Oh, but he needn't worry. I'm never going to marry anyone.
Never is a long time. You might change your mind.
Oh, it wouldn't be fair to Daddy Longlegs. No, I have it all planned. After I graduate, I'm going to live with him and take care of him. If he wants me to. But I'm afraid he won't want me to. I don't think he really cares very much about me.
I'm sure he does.
No. Never writes to me. And I don't think he even reads my letters. He probably just throws them in the wastebasket.
He does not. He keeps them locked in his desk drawer. And winter evenings, when he's lonely, he gets them out and reads them all over. Then he sits before the fire and wonders what his little Judy is doing. Wishes she were there to talk to him.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. I wish it were true. What makes you think he does that?
Because that's what I'd do if I were your Daddy Longlegs.
I wish you didn't have to leave Lock Willow Farm so soon, Jervis. I thought you'd stay a while. After all, it's been 5 weeks since you were here, and in all that time, you didn't even write.
You were in my thoughts every minute, Judy. But I had to stay away because of something I'd learned.
About me?
About both of us. It resolved itself into a problem I had to try to solve alone.
I don't understand.
It's a conflict of my heart and my mind. I've tried to think things out, but the more I think, the bigger the obstacle grows.
Obstacle?
If I thought you could love me even a little, we might be able to surmount it. I'm not speaking impulsively, my dear. But you're so very young, and I'm past my youth. How could I dare ask you to share the remnant of my life, no matter how much I love you?
You love me?
Of course. Didn't you know?
No, I didn't dream. Oh, please, Jervis, don't say any more. It's hopeless.
I was afraid of that, but I think I know why. Well, I guess I'm a coward, but there are some things a man can't face. Goodbye, my dear. Promise me you'll always consider me your friend. The rest, well, forget it.
Forget what you said. Oh, my darling, I love you so very, very much. And I remember your words as long as I live.
Now what?
It's me, Jervis. Louise Pritchard. May I come in?
Of course. I'm glad to see you. Come in, sit down.
Jervis, I was sorry to hear about your being ill.
I'll be all right. Tell me about Judy.
Judy's brooding about something. Jervis, I'm going to be very frank with you. I don't think you've been fair in your dealings with Judy.
What more could I do? I've denied her nothing.
Oh, I don't mean as her guardian. I mean as yourself, as Jervis Pendleton. You deliberately went out of your way to win her friendship, and that wasn't fair. After she'd been shut away from the rest of the world so long, suddenly to be confronted with a man like you, worldly, experienced, and fascinating.
Fascinating? Ha! I'm old, weary, and done for. We've nothing in common.
Of course, I know that her past...
Is that what you think? You don't know me. I don't care a fig for her background. It's Judy herself that I'm interested in. But that's beside the point. She isn't interested in me.
I'm not so sure. Anyway, she must know the truth about Daddy Longlegs.
Not a chance. That would spoil her illusions. She thinks of me now as a nice, fatherly old man. Well, I'm neither as old or fatherly as she believes. If she were to know the truth, she might turn to me in gratitude. I don't want her that way.
I see. Jervis, last week she sent her guardian a letter.
A letter? I haven't heard from her in 2 months. Doggone it, these confounded doctors, they've been keeping my letters from me. Griggs!
Yes, sir?
Griggs, did a letter come last week for John Smith?
Yes, sir. The doctor said...
Never mind what the doctor said. Give me the letter.
It's right here, sir. In the desk. Here you are, sir.
Thank you. That's all, Griggs. You may go.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's see. Dear Daddy Longlegs, for 4 years you have stood in the background of my life, and I have loved you very much. But now I want to see you. Something has happened, and I need your advice. You see, Daddy dear, I love another man even more than I love you, and he comes from a family full of ancestors.
Go on.
How can I make him understand about the John Grier home? I let him go away, believing I didn't care for him, but now I miss him. Yesterday, I heard that he'd been very ill. She means me. She means me. I've got to go to her.
No, you don't. She's coming here. I sent her a wire saying Daddy Longlegs wanted to see her. She's probably in the foyer now. I told Greeks to have her wait there.
She can't see me this way. I look like an old man in this dressing gown. Don't tell her anything, please, Miss Pritchard. I'll be down just as quickly as I can.
Oh, Greeks, has the young lady come yet?
Yes, Miss Pritchard. She's right here.
Oh, Miss Pritchard.
Oh, I'm scared.
Judy. Where's Daddy Longlegs?
You'll see him very soon. Tell me, dear, were you surprised to get my telegram?
Surprised isn't the word. Yesterday, before it came, I was feeling so discouraged. But when I learned I was to see Daddy Longlegs at last, I was so excited I couldn't sleep a wink. I said I was up at 4 this morning. And all the way to the station, I kept thinking, I'm going to see Daddy Longlegs. And the funniest thing, I had the oddest feeling that... Miss Pritchard, where did she go?
Does it matter, Judy?
Jervis, what are you doing here?
Why are you here?
I came to see Daddy Longlegs.
Have you seen him?
No, I was waiting. Oh, Jervis, you've been ill.
Yes, ill, lonely, and sad.
I'm sorry.
Judy, dearest, why did you send me away?
I had to because...
Because of the John Grier home?
How do you know about that?
Does it matter how I know? Does anything matter except our love? You do love me, don't you, Judy?
Of course I do. So very, very much. But the obstacle, the great difference between us, have you forgotten that?
If you can overlook it, if you can forget the difference in our ages, I promise you, I'll never think of it.
Was that what you meant? That you're older than I am? Oh, Jervis, I thought it was because I came from the John Grier home.
My dear, how could you think that?
Jervis, how long have you known about it?
A very long time, dearest. Ever since the day I heard a little girl cry out for freedom. A little girl in a blue checked denim dress.
Then you... You were...
Oh, my darling, didn't you know? Didn't you guess that I was your Daddy Longlegs?
At least, as we sat together in the Brownstone Theater for a performance of Daddy Longlegs. I wonder how many of you saw the play when it was first produced and brought to popular acclaim a lovely young actress whose name was Ruth Chatterton. I suspect that Daddy Longlegs may be an old friend to many of you, as it is to me. Our producer, Mr. McGregor, tells me that he is planning a special play for our national holiday next week, a new dramatization of an old favorite, The Man Without a Country. Gertrude Warner and Jackson Beck, our Brownstone Theater stars, will be the hosts for a guest star, Neil Hamilton, who will play Philip Nolan, the man who hoped he would never hear of his country again, but who lived to learn how much a man can love his country. We all of us hope that you will be with us for the Brownstone Theater presentation of The Man Without a Country on the evening of Memorial Day. And so, for the time being only, good night.
The Brownstone Theater performances are produced in one of the Mutual Studios, which once a week becomes our own Brownstone Theater. Your companion at these plays is the distinguished critic and author, Clayton Hamilton. The adaptation of Daddy Longlegs was made by Eleanor Abbey. The music was directed by Sylvan Levin. The entire production was under the direction of Jock McGregor. Next week, The Man Without a Country. The Brownstone Theater originates in New York and is heard over most of these stations on Wednesday evening at this same time. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.